Now we're going to look at the gospel. And you will see how Jesus himself builds on prophecy. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, what the Christ was doing, but it's the Messiah, he sent word by his disciples and said, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" He sees, you see, what the Messiah is doing. And so he wants to know, "Are you the one?" Now look how Jesus answers him. "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." Now, who can I be then, John? Now, doesn't that fulfill that prophecy of Isaiah that we started off with in chapter 35 of Isaiah? Listen to it again, this parts of it. "Strengthen the weak hands, say to the strong, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert." In other words, am I the one to come? Yes, John. So what we did when you baptized me, and I said, we have to fulfill the justice of God, which means the plan of the Father. Now it's unfolding, John. And so these are my credentials. You see? The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have the good news preached to them. Now that obviously is alluding to this Isaiah 35. Huh? See what Paul means by the consolation of the scriptures in the letter to the Romans he talked? You see? Jesus himself is consoled by the word. I want to read, here it is. The last chapter of, I want to read 52:13 to 53:12, not the whole thing. This is the fourth servant song, okay? And it starts, "See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted, even as many were amazed at him. And then, who would believe what we have heard? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" We have this text of the sufferings of the servant. But there's one more servant song. It's in chapter 66. And here you see once again the beauty of the presence of the Lord. See, I'm sorry, it's 61, isn't it? "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring the good news to the lowly, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and release to prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord and a day of vindication, to comfort all who are mourned." You see how many of these are beatitudes too. "See, to place on those who mourn a diadem." In other words, the presence of the Christ always brings consolation, healing, new courage. And our Lord appeals to that. You see, he doesn't appeal to his healing miracles as miracles, but as healings. They are miracles, of course. But I have come to bring order to this world. And if you will listen to me, if you will obey my word, if you will feed on my body and blood, you will be an instrument of healing. The church has always known this. How many heroic orders of nuns went to the missionaries and founded hospitals to heal those? Through the mercy and generosity and love of the Lord, and the generosity of the people who sent the money to build the hospital and so forth. So there's miraculous healings, which are wonderful, but then there are these compassionate healings done. You see, and that's why when we turn over our hospitals to secular management, we've lost a lot, as everybody knows. You see, the presence of Jesus brings healing. And the presence of Jesus in a believer brings healing. And you should know this, you see. The priests, you know, it depends on where you're hearing confessions, but you can sometimes, if you don't have a box, you know, whatever, you can put your hand on their head and pray over them for healing, for awareness of forgiveness. You know, for so many people, they go to confession, they walk out, it's like paying a parking ticket. You know, they've just sort of done their thing, and now God, whoever He is, has forgiven them, whatever that is. It's got to be real. And so you see, our Lord in this text doesn't talk so much about calming the storm and those things, which He did. He talks about healings. And He alludes, obviously, in that text that we have to Isaiah 35. Go tell John what you see and hear. These are the signs. So you see, as we move into difficult times, the importance that the church, which is the physical presence of Christ on earth, be a place of healing, that everybody heal. And this is why we need that experiential faith. Somebody the other day said to me, my daughter and her friend have heard now, they're in college, about all this baptism in the Spirit stuff. And they want to be baptized in the Spirit. What do I do? I said, get them ready yourself. Just tell them about it. And then lead them to repent for their sins. Go to confession. And then pray over them. And that gift, and along with it usually comes charismatic gifts. Tongues, prophecy, healing. All the gifts. You never know. But you see, it's that healing presence of Christ. And our Lord claims that as His identifying mark. You know, it's interesting. There is a text. I don't have time to look it up right now as such. But yeah, it's in the book of Exodus where God comes and He appears to Moses. And He goes by, Adonai, Adonai. See, Elohim, Rahum, He's merciful, and you know, forgiving sins to the thousands generation. You see, and one of the commentators said, this is the Lord's calling card. You see, this is the way He identifies Himself as the forgiver, as the healer. This is important. Now, it's not, to quote Bonhoeffer again, it's not cheap grace. But it's better than that. It's the grace that finally wins us over enough to worship Him, to love Him, to obey Him, to hold Him in awe. You see? And so we have in this third Sunday of Advent the theme of healing. It's in the first reading. It's in the Gospel. It's in the Psalm, which takes off. And so the other text is on patience and on doing the will of God, the James text. But the theme is healing. Wouldn't it be a wonderful time to talk about that? When one of the children is sick, let the father of the family put his hand on their head and pray over them for healing. In other words, bring this to real. You know, gosh, you know, sometimes even we have the sacrament of the sick, we don't expect anything to happen. But the sacraments work, ex opere operato. Every time we confect that sacrament, the Lord does something. Now, sometimes if the environment is not right, the Lord can't do much. It's like when he visited Nazareth. He couldn't do much because of their lack of faith. You see, but it is a sacrament of healing. And so, you could, if you wished, build a whole homily on this notion of healing. It's predicted. Our Lord points to its fulfillment. And that fulfillment goes on. Because we are the body of Christ. And one of the signs of the true church is healing. Much healing. Reconciliation. Stop grumbling. If you stop grumbling about people, you can heal them. And that's important. And so, let's conclude by going back over the description of God in the psalm. This is, again, as I said, this is present participle. God is the Shomer Emet. He's the one keeping truth forever. Now, truth is fidelity, right? And so he keeps faith forever. He keeps truth forever. He's the one who brings about justice for the oppressed. Again, these are all participles. The one giving bread to the hungry. The one freeing captives. You see, the one giving sight to the blind. The Lord raising up those who are bowed down. Loving the just, the righteous. Isn't that something? He loves the righteous. They understand me. You know, just think of God the Father. You know, Therese, Saint Therese, gave her whole life as a sacrifice to the merciful love of God. Why? She said, because there's mercy in God the Father, which he loves to pour out, but there's nobody there to be the channel through which it's poured out. So I give myself to you to be that channel through which the mercy of God can be poured out. If we were to do that, my brothers, we would become instruments of healing. And when people would say, you know, is this really the true church? Go tell your friends what you see and hear. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. People's sins are forgiven. People are reconciled. Families are put back together. Let me show you the power and the healing mercy of God the Father, who is here with us now.